Hello and welcome to our latest NWSL preview show for Women's Soccer Zone. My name is Kieran Tatham, and again, I'm joined by my co-host, deputy editor for Women's Soccer Zone, JJ Duke. JJ, we're nearly done with these previews, mate, but they're going well. I'm enjoying them. How are you doing?
Yeah, we're good. We're getting to Jersey strong right now, which is kind of my somewhat forte. We're getting East Coast. Back to the East Coast.
Yeah, all that preseason training in the snow that we've seen early doors, but I know that it's brightening up. And of course, when we're talking about brightening up, I think it's fair to say that last season was a bright season for Sky Blue. I think it would be fair to say that if you looked at a lot of people's predictions, mine included, a lot of people tipped Sky Blue to struggle last year. I'm not saying that you did, but I know for a fact that I did. And they defied a lot of people. People had to rip up those predictions quite early on because Christy Holly had a team that played for each other, played for him, and played some good soccer as well, didn't they? And actually, I think they arguably overachieved a little bit last year.
Arguably, and I'll gladly throw my hat into the ring in saying that they were... I didn't think that they really had much of a chance to be competitive last year, but the big message with that team, and you know, there'll be a lot of media folks to tell you that for the first time, Sky Blue looked like a team. Now, this is not a discreditation to Jim Gabara, who was there the 3 years prior, because he's obviously a fantastic coach, but you brought in a new coach, a young coach, with new ideas, new enthusiasm. Obviously, Christy has been there as an assistant in years past, learning, you know, under Jim, learning the professional game. But, boy, did they look like a fun team to watch last year, right?
Very much so, especially from a British perspective. You know, we knew that Lear Galton being drafted out of Hofstra at the top of the second round was always going to be an interesting one to keep an eye on. But I think even I was surprised. I hadn't seen a lot of her, but I was definitely surprised. I know a lot of people that watched her were surprised. Absolutely rapid. I mean, I remember the game they had against Washington Spirit, and I'm not looking to pick any defender out in particular, but because Ali Krieger is rated so highly, I'm only picking that game out. But she burned Ali Krieger time after time, and it wasn't just Ali. It was most of the right-backs that she came up against.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it's really unfortunate how the end of the season ended for Leah, because she was pegged for national team. I mean, this is a player, you know, you wanted to see any player across the board when they are on the verge of being called into a national team camp. You want them performing week in and week out. And, you know, Leah Galton had to finish up her degree at Hofstra. That was part of the deal before her coming in. And she hit the ground with minimal time on the training pitch with her team and absolutely lifted that team to another level. You know, injuries at the back end of the season didn't really help her a whole lot, but still, you know, 3 goals, 4 assists, and 14 matches, you will take that any season.
Yeah, especially from a rookie. Especially from a rookie who is finding her feet and is learning the trade as a professional from another country as well. But we'll talk about other players, we'll talk about the squad, but I want to go back to something that you said that was really interesting about how they look like a team for the first time. And that is, as you say, not an indictment on Jim Gabara. Look, at the end of the day, Jim Gabara took the team that he moved to the championship game. But I'm interested to know what you think Christy Holly did differently last year to make them look like a team. Because whenever we speak about Christy Holly, whenever you speak to anyone who knows Christy Holly or is associated with him, you never hear anything bad said about him. Very highly thought of. We obviously spoke to him at the NWSL draft. Very articulate, very, very enthusiastic about this organisation. Why did he get them playing last year when maybe in the years previous they weren't able to perform at that level?
Well, look, I think, you know, as media and fans alike, we all want to know the inside secrets, right? And I think sometimes we're never going to find out, you know, what it is, you know, what is that extra tool. But I think the main thing is that he has no problem in going out and saying he believes in all 20 players that are on the current roster, plus the support staff, plus the front office staff. He believes that this team is a championship contending team. And Kieran, you and I can probably hash this out, whether we're media or not, but for any time an athlete can hear a coach saying, "I believe in you," that's all it needs, because that lights that fire. You know, you get that extra little drive going forward, being like, well, you know what? Coach believes in me. I'm going to go get this for him. I'm going to go get this for my team. And when you can have an entire group go about that idea, then wonders can happen. And Sky Blue, I mean, you talk about punching above their weight. Sometimes, sure, did it not look pretty in their wins? Yes. Did Chrissy Holly tell us straight up during the draft that he was not happy in some parts of his team last year, despite nearly going 500 in terms of a winning percentage? Yes. But they still were there right until the last few weeks of the season for a playoff spot.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I would agree with that. And actually, what he did, we've mentioned the draft a couple of times. People spoke very highly about what he did at that draft as well, didn't they? I mean, if you look at the two defenders that he brought in from USC, who we've mentioned won the national championship last year, Caleb Mills and Mandy Freeman. Now, I know that you spoke to both of them at the draft, and I know that you have very high expectations for both in this team.
I mean, they're about as athletic and pacey as you can get. Both of these players have been in the national team, the youth national team picture, I should say, for a long time. And always, I said this back about Morgan Andrews in the Breakers preview, and I'll say it here, you come off of a national championship at the collegiate level, well, you don't want to be tasting a loss anytime soon, because you're just riding that high. They came in motivated, and they're willing to adapt to the new game, new professional game, I should say, as opposed to the collegiate game. But when you have players of that quality coming in to only help your team, you and I were talking before about there might not be the numerical depth that Sky Blue has as opposed to like a Seattle, but you have six competent defenders that can start across the board on any one of these teams.
Yeah, one of which is Erica Skrzorski, who, of course, was playing in her rookie year last year. I think she was a huge standout, and for me was probably one of the contenders for Rookie of the Year. And then you have, well, an education for Kayla Mills and Mandy Freeman. Who better to receive that from than the legend that is Christy Rampone? And of course, we know that Christy is going to be available for Sky Blue all season, because she, of course, recently announced her retirement from the US Women's National Team. So if Christy can stay fit, you'd expect her to play the vast majority of games. Kayla Mills or Mandy Freeman playing alongside her in that back line, what an education for them.
I mean, I think you're going to strike the words, Kieran, if Christy Rampone can stay fit, because let's face it, Christy Rampone can run circles around any one of the players in this league. It is scary. And I know, you know, I'm hearing reports about that this is going to be her last year. Man, if she wants to go for another two or three seasons and she's up for it, believe me, Christy Rampone will be playing in this league for a couple more years, because she can handle it. And not only that, as you said, she can educate defenders to become better. You know, last year was working with Kristen Grubka in the back. Now, I don't see her name on the preseason roster list, but, you know, her game elevated last year. Now, one definitely has to think that defenders working with her, as you said, Mills, Freeman, Erica Skrzorski, even Aaron Simon last year is a Syracuse player coming in. That's an ACC team, but it's not the ones that you're thinking of, like North Carolina's and Duke's and Florida State's. But Simon's game rose dramatically throughout the season. So Christy Rampone makes players better around her, and she can also carry her own weight as well, which is absolutely amazing.
Yeah, without a doubt. Looking forward to seeing her play a full season in the NWSL. I think it's going to be fun to see how she comes up against the young guns week in, week out. But as we know, she handles herself more than capable, and more often than not will come out on top. So, yeah, definitely going to be fun. Looking at the midfield, Sarah Killian, the standout for me. I'm a big fan of Sarah. Obviously has been a big player for Sky Blue since being drafted a couple of years ago. They've added Daphne Korbos, who of course played over here for Manchester City, won the league and the Continental Cup double last year. She's obviously local in terms of the university that she went to as well. So I think it's going to be a good addition for them. And I look at the midfield with Rocky Rodriguez and Nikki Stanton, who had a stint down in the W League as well. Yeah, I don't see many weaknesses in that midfield. Maybe a little bit of a lack of depth, but no lack of quality.
A little lack of depth, a little more lacking out wide. I think you have a lot of central midfielders in there. But look, I mean, when you can throw together Rocky, Corbos, Killian, Taylor Lytle, those are four very technically sound players. I mean, I know you're high, very high in Sarah Killian. You know, her ability just to calm things down in the midfield. She obviously learned greatly playing, you know, through the years in the professional ranks. And, you know, she's going to be a player that, you know, she can make herself a quality professional for a long period of time. And, you know, when you have Rodriguez that's already world-class coming in, you know, just a, she's still a kid. I mean, we have to remember she is not, you know, anywhere near in terms of age, but she can still see her game rise and rise throughout the years. I think that center midfield three or four, however you look at it, can be as good as any in this league.
Yeah, I completely agree, and I was really looking forward last season to seeing Raquel and Sarah Killian and Katie Friels, and then Katie Friels announced her retirement, and we never got to see that midfield three, so I'm looking forward to seeing how Killian, Rodriguez and Daphne Corbos will link up, because I don't think Daphne got the minutes on the pitch for Man City towards the end of her time there that she maybe deserved, but certainly had a big impact early on during her career there and played her part in the trophies that they won. So hopefully she can transition that into the NWSL, and we'll see how she gets on in New Jersey. But looking at the forward line as well, I guess for me, mate, maybe, just maybe, again, a little bit like the midfield, they've got the numbers, but I wonder if there's a little bit of depth that's lacking. We've mentioned Leah Galton already. There are a number of people in the women's soccer media, and I don't think it's an outrageous statement, that believe that Samantha Kerr could potentially become one of the best players in the world if she carries on the way that she is, because lightning fast, brutal in front of goal in terms of her finishing, very direct. She could be the go-to player for Sky Blue this season for me.
I mean, she's going to have a full year, at least on schedule right now, that she's going to play. She's a player that's just been on and off injured for the last few years, or on and off playing, excuse me, with the national team. But 5 goals in 9 games last year, that's nothing to be upset about. You want your goal scorers scoring goals. She did that. Now let's see how she does throughout an entire year. And then you talked about Galton. I think the player that almost kind of gets thrown behind a little bit, doesn't deserve it, is Tasha Kai. I mean, how about that for a player basically falling off the face of the earth in terms of soccer for 4 or 5 seasons, comes back, 4 goals? That's not too shabby for a player that's been sitting, you know, actually really we don't even know what she's been doing for the last, you know, few years prior. We heard she was playing women's rugby.
I was going to say she was playing rugby, wasn't she? Yeah, I remember. Yeah, I remember.
But, you know, hey, fair play to her. She took a chance on Sky Blue, and Sky Blue took a chance on her, and I think both parties will be equally happy with what they got.
Yeah, without a doubt. Without a doubt. When I saw her, she is going to give defenders a torrid time. She may have scored 4 goals, but I tell you what, she will have created a few more with her movement, and she's going to throw her weight around, you know. She is a presence. She is one of those players that will not give up for 90 minutes and will give absolutely everything. So, yeah, I liked Tasha Kai last year. I thought she was an important addition to the squad. And like you say, coming out of the wilderness a little bit, but hugely important. There are other players there. Kim DeCease is another one. They've got the players there. I just wonder if there's a little bit of a lack of depth. But I think that can be said, you know, when you've only got 20 players in a roster, you're always going to have a little bit of a lack of depth in certain areas. So we'll have to see how Sky Blue cope with that. But I think we'll wrap it up there, mate. We will come back after this break, where we will have a chat with a member of Sky Blue FC.
Women's Soccer Zone. Follow the show on Twitter at WOSO Zone.
Welcome back to our continuing NWSL previews here on WOSO Zone. JJ Duke with you, and joining me now is Erica Skrosky from Sky Blue FC. Erica, thanks for taking a few minutes to chat with us.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
All right, so preseason so far at the time of recording, we're a few weeks into it. How are things going down there?
They're really good. The team seems to be gelling really well on and off the field together, which I think is just a huge impact of being successful this year. Just coming back from last year, we have really high expectations, and already in preseason, you could see the level of play is up there, and we're just day in, day out, putting in the work to try to achieve those goals heading into season within the next month.
For sure, and this is a bit of a familiar group, not too many changes from a year ago. How much of an advantage is that as opposed to coming in from last year where pretty much that entire side was changed?
Right, that's what I was going to say. Last year, I mean, we were almost completely a whole new team throughout the whole entire field. Obviously, there's returners as well, but there was a lot of new faces, and to just have everyone back for the second year, a few more faces in there again this year, obviously, but to have obviously, Christina Poland is a huge veteran, and then just people trickling under her that have been in the league for a while, and just to have returners from last year instead of a whole new group, I think is really, really good for us. Everyone gets along very, very well on and off the field, like I said before, and I think that's gonna drive us really far this year.
Including a veteran aspect, you're the back line that you're a part of, pretty much every piece returns. What was it like playing in that back four last year? Especially, you said, playing alongside Chrissy Rampone, who is, continues to be a do-it-all everything right. for that side, and a bunch of other veterans as well. Where'd you find yourself to get into that group and maintain, you know, a solid back four throughout the entire year?
Right. I mean, personally, obviously, just working hard every day, continuing to listen to the coaches, to the players, players who have been there before me, obviously, and even players that are coming in, everyone else has something to give, which I think is really important to get everyone's aspects in different parts of the field. But just to be able to play in that back line last year with Christina Bowen, and obviously Grubbs was there and Kelly O'Hara was in there sometimes, so just such a strong group we had back there, and just all year, I learned so much from Christy and all them, every single day, just even a few steps left, a few steps right, whether to drop, whether to step. And I think with that, having we had that under our belt now last year, we can continue to grow as a really strong back line as a unit this year, moving into the season.
Well, you mentioned on how you continued to grow last year, but you were coming off of a very successful senior year at Rutgers where the team got to the Final Four. Everybody was clicking on a very high level, but even you say there's still plenty of room to grow. So how was that in that that transitionary year between the college game to the professional game and still find a way to have success?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the level of play from the college to the pro is another level higher. But I think just to be able to have experienced the Final Four with such a tight-knit that we were in college as well, and then to be able to bring that, have that experience and bring that into my first preseason and my first season only a few months after, I think really, really benefited me just to get that level and then to just bring, I mean, what I knew, obviously, into the league, but then to have everyone else help me out in that back line and our midfielders in front of me and the forwards as well, the whole team, I think that was a huge part of it.
Was there a comfort level knowing that you're going to be staying close to home last year after you found out you got drafted by Sky Blue?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I would say definitely. Obviously, that doesn't change the work rate or not the comfort of how I feel that I am on the field necessarily. Obviously, I have to work just as hard as the person next to me and everyone else that's out there, but just to know that, I mean, at any point I could really go home and my home friends that I grew up with my whole life are still around, and my parents, my friends, my coaches, old coaches, can all go to the games and still be able to support me and cheer me on was definitely a huge thing. I mean, obviously we still play at Rutgers. So those first few games, I mean, there were so many people there for me, cheering me on, and it was so awesome. And I mean, that was stay consistent throughout the whole season. So I'd say definitely, yeah, it's really nice being home still. And around pretty much everything I grew up with and went to college with as well.
Now, I'm curious because only Sky Blue and I believe Boston ground share with college teams. And were you going to games while you're at Rutgers? Obviously, there's not much of a carryover because NWSL season starts in April, college usually done in mid-May, season's kind of winding down when y'all get back into school. But were you and your teammates going to games when you're in college?
You mean when I was at Rutgers, I did the attend Sky Blue games?
Yes.
Yeah, we did all the time. We would go as, like, whole team, or if the whole team couldn't go, we would go just a few of the girls. And at one point, Janelle Foligno, who was on the Canadian national team, we played with her, and then she went to Sky Blue, so we would go see her. And then we would obviously just go to see the games in general. All the girls on the national team really brought a crowd. And we would usually always be in the stands for that, yeah.
Absolutely, that's pretty cool. Especially, yeah, you said the lineage a little bit going, carrying on with Rutgers, the Sky Blue. Mindset last year, a lot of people in the media, including yours truly, may or may not have said that it would have been an interesting year for Sky Blue last year. But the one thing that stood out to me was that your team played for each other. As opposed, not to say indifferent to years past, but it just seemed to be something a little different, this gel that you guys had on the field. What was it that made that team so special last year?
I would say just from the beginning of season, if anyone pretty much looked at us on paper, they were like, who is Sky Blue? You know what I mean? We predict they're not going to go far. They're going to end at the bottom of the table, this, that, the other. And I think that kind of fueled us as a group, that it doesn't matter what we look like on paper, but what we can do when we're out there on the field as a collective unit. Will drive us to win games and push us into playoff competition, which we actually ended up doing at that Olympic break, which I don't think anyone believed was even possible if you looked at us at the beginning of season. So I think that just, not the doubt, but just knowing personally what we can do on and off the field together, and sticking to that and really buying by it, and just going in every single practice and every single game with that mentality, I think was the reason that we did better than people expected.
And does having that little bit of a sour taste in your mouth at the end of the year, knowing that the team just missed out on the playoffs, mm-hmm. despite, you know, you're fighting until, like, what, the last couple of weeks of the season for that last spot, is that something that's going to push you on forward for this year to try to get back into the postseason?
Oh, absolutely. The team, I mean, you can already see it. Everyone, like you said, a little sour taste from last year, but everyone's in it for that reason this year. We want to get as far as we can. We want to make playoffs and make it even further than that. And you can just tell by the level of play at training and the atmosphere on the field and, like I said, off the field, whether we're getting ready for training or we're in our houses. Just everyone's in it for the same reason, and it's not for an individual reason. It's for the collective team and benefiting each other by doing it together. And I think if we can build off that from last year and then go into this season, I think we can get really far and be really successful.
What's the one thing this year that your team and Christy Holly wanted to focus on in terms of improving from last year? Because obviously there's always going to be ups and downs, but he was very adamant in saying that there were things to be worked on at the draft. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious to hear, what are some of those things?
I mean, if I'm just thinking right off the bat, I would think consistency, just because we had games where we would win a few weekends in a row, and then we drop, and then we lose another, and then maybe we'd win one, and then we drop. So I think just day in and day out, figuring out maybe if we happen to lose that game, what did we not do that as consistent that we might have done in the week prior that led us to that win and that 3 points? And I think if we can start to do that and get that down, that'll really, really, truly benefit us and get us to our goals and where we want to go.
For sure. And some of that consistency also comes from playing in high-level, high-priority matches. You had an opportunity to do that with the U23s last month in La Manga. How was that experience like for you, playing in that camp with that team?
Right. I loved every minute of it, especially being out there in Spain. I've never been there. But I think one of the most benefiting things of being out there was that we played 3 different countries in 5 days, and every team played a completely different style, a completely different formation. So we really got to experience all different kinds of plays and levels of plays, attacking styles, defending styles. And I think if that was one of the biggest things I brought home from that trip, I would say that's it. Because I experienced Japan going, trying to just knock the ball around and break our defense down with passes. And then whereas the Norway, I'm pretty sure it was the last game, it was just a completely different style of play, and they were more physical, tried to body us off the ball, sometimes get it over our back line, whereas Japan never did that. So I think to get that much experience and 5 days of being in camp and obviously training with that level of girls for the days prior than that and throughout the whole camp in general, really, really benefited me individually.
And you also were kind of the elder statesman, if you will, in terms of playing professionally for a year under your belt, where there was a lot of, you know, rookies coming in into that camp. There is a lot of players, or a few players that are still in college as well. Did anybody try and pick your brain a little bit while you're over there?
Yeah, definitely a little bit. Obviously, Laura Harvey, the coach of Seattle, was our head coach, so she kind of sometimes came to us and was give them some more hints. Seasons, obviously, if we are ending that tournament and everyone was pretty much going straight to preseason. So it was really just a preseason for us. A lot of the girls were heading straight to their teams. And then I guess a handful of us were returning back. So yeah, it was cool to see, to be on the other spectrum of it, kind of, because last year I was on the spectrum where I was going into preseason for my first time as my rookie year. And this year I got to experience it as being going into my second year. So I think that was pretty cool to experience that.
For sure. And to kind of wrap things up a little bit, I've asked some players that I've interviewed throughout this series, you know, what their expectations or what their goals are, what the outlook is, and I'll do the same for you, but in a little bit of a different sense. A lot of people, you know, we talked about earlier, may have kind of overwritten you or written your team off. What do you want people to be writing about when this year comes to a conclusion about Sky Blue?
I think the biggest thing will be how bonded we are as a team, and how that led us to our overall goals is where we end the season. And I think, I know I keep saying it, but it really is, you can feel it on the field, it's different. And I think that's just going to propel us, what we hope to postseason and even further than that. So I hope when all is said and done for 2017 season, our bond and our chemistry as a unit and for doing it, not as an individual, but doing it as a collective whole, is what will be written about us.
Brilliant. All right, well, Erica, thanks for taking a few minutes to chat with us, and best of luck as you get ready for the opening weekend.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
And not a problem. That will do it for this preview of Sky Blue. Make sure to stay tuned for more NWSL previews here on WOSO Zone. Until next time, goodbye for now.